Today, Agent Thomas from the RSPB explains how you can identify the great tit and the blue tit.
It fascinates me. Blue tit's one of the most familiar birds in gardens, one of the commonest birds in gardens, but very few people actually recognise its song. Now, it's got a close cousin, the great tit, which is common as well in gardens. And the great tit has a well-known song because it goes, teacher, 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 teacher. And so that you get this seesawing between two notes in a bold tone. But the blue tit is a much subtler song. And what the blue tit does, it normally has a couple of high notes and then drops to a lower, but still a high-pitched little shimmer. So I'll explain that by trying to convey it in words. So it typically goes sispy, sihihihi, but in a really high-pitched tone. So listen for a couple of notes to start with, which are very high, and then drops to a high shimmer after it. And it's no wonder, really, is it? It's that people don't recognise it because it's not as standout as that teacher, teacher of the great tit. And it's easy to lose that sispy, sihi up in the branches of a tree. But yeah, that is, obviously it helps when you actually hear the bird song for real to work out exactly what I'm trying to convey there. But a couple of very high notes, then a little shimmer after it.
Now, you mentioned, Adrian, that your passion was to try to encourage gardens to host the wildlife and encourage birds into the garden. Would you give us some ideas on how we could do that?
Yes, absolutely. I'd love to. This has been a big part of my life for over 20 years now of researching, writing, giving talks, I'm doing all sorts of broadcasts about wildlife friendly gardening, because what's happened in the last 20 years is that there's been a much greater recognition that we can really help stem the decline of wildlife by the things that we can do in our gardens. Our gardens aren't barren wastelands for wildlife. They can be incredibly rich habitats, and we can have some of our most intimate encounters with wildlife within our gardens. And the techniques for improving your garden for wildlife are really quite simple. First one is plants. If you've got lots of plants in your garden, that is a great starting point. That is the baseline. That's the bedrock of wildlife friendly gardening. And anybody who's got a gardening ilk to them will love the fact that it's just an encouragement to grow lots of plants. And if you can have ones which have berries and flowers, then all the better. Adding water to the garden is really useful for wildlife, which could be a bird bath or could be a pond. Not getting rid of things such as logs and sticks and leaves and grass clippings, and having composting material adds another habitat. And then providing supplementary food in the garden in the form of obviously bird food, bird tables, bird feeders, but also hedgehog food these days can really help. And then also not using the chemicals that kill creatures, the pesticides out there. It's not a case that you have to go organic, but if you can reduce the amount of pesticide use in a garden, then obviously you're not knocking out layers in the food chains. And that means that the creatures above them, the birds and the mammals and the bats, can thrive. And doing those things, just making small changes in the way that you garden, can have really profound effects on the amount of wildlife that you see. It can double, triple, quadruple the numbers of butterflies and bees and birds that use a garden.
Adrian Thomas from the RSPB. And tomorrow, Adrian explains how you can identify wood pigeons and collared doves here on RNIB Connect Radio.